Hello and welcome to Food Neighbourhood San Monaco 24. I am Markus Hippi. All series are various, the locals' love for their food and drink offerings, and in this series we get to know these places. Craft-made cachaça is making inroads into international markets. This week we head to one of the key Brazilian regions producing this drink, Bahia. Together with a young set of tastemakers and bartenders in the state capital Salvador, Bahia is helping to change the face of Brazil's national drink. Our Latin America affairs correspondent Lucinda Elliott traveled to a small-scale distillery to sample a few varieties and find out how perceptions of the spirit are changing both at home and abroad.
Cachaça, pinga, cana, caninha. These are all names of Brazil's everyman drink. A distilled spirit made from fermented sugarcane, much like rum. Cachaça is as old as Brazil itself. The process dates back to 1500, when Portuguese settlers brought the first sugarcane cuttings from Madeira to the northeastern coast. Today, Brazilian producers, large and small, can be found in most regions of the fertile South American country, and by law must contain between 38 to 48% alcohol. But it's in the state of Bahia, where craft-made cachaça is holding on to the origins and traditions of small-scale production, creating niche varieties, some that are even dyed purple. Driving up to the Amada Alambique, a word of Arabic and Greek origin to describe a distillation vessel and what Brazilians commonly call small plantations, the air is humid and sun scorching. Raimundo Freire represents producers in Bahia and helps Amada with its distribution. He explains how the cane that they produce differs from industrial varieties.
Industrial production of cachaça doesn't do the same thing to the cane that is done with small batch varieties. With artisanal craft, you cut the first bit of the cane, we call it the head. The second part, the heart, is what we use. And the other part, which is the cauda, or the tail, is also discarded. But only roughly 10% of the head and 10% of the tail is not used. So 80% is used and distilled. And it is here where you find the real nectar of the gods, the cachaça.
This isn't the case in large-scale industrial production, where more of the bad parts of the cane are used and distilled. The head and the tail can contain perfume-like elements, but that are also dangerous to health. The separation of the heart is vital when making a quality product. The first ever cachaça brand to receive an organic certificate came from Bahia. And all around the outskirts of Salvador, the state capital, dozens of distilleries can be found. Producers age their spirit in different types of wood beyond non-native oak, such as amburana and balm, creating a whole host of aromas. And it's produced in copper pot stills as opposed to steel used in industrial varieties. Clusa has been taking care of the fermentation process since Amada opened in 2004. She explains how complex the final stages of production can be.
Hoje é segunda-feira. A gente passa a cana.
At the start of the week, on Mondays, we put the sugarcane in and we see the levels of sugar it has. If it's at 18 or 20, then I know whether to add more or less water. I go adding filtered water to get the correct level of sweetness. I only use filtered water. Then leave it there, heat the water until it reaches 35 degrees centigrade. Once it's reached that temperature, I leave it, close the lid, and I go stirring at regular intervals with the mixer hung up over there. Then, once it goes down to 27 degrees, I can't let it go down below that. So I have to stay and keep an eye out. Often I sleep down here in the distillery to make sure, take my mattress with me. I can't sleep during this period because I worry about losing all the hard work we've put in.
The result from this year's harvest is a delicious series of coconut, lemon and coffee varieties that have been turned into a sweet liquor. They're also exploring a dyed variety used with ancient Chinese flowers. When mixed with acid fruits like the signature lime in caipirinhas, the purple cachaça turns a pinky red. It looks like something out of Harry Potter and would go down well in London cocktail bars.
Tem que abrir, né?
Upla!
One of the main challenges for the drink and its craft producers is that Brazilians don't see a level of sophistication when it comes to their national tipple. And what you can do with it has been largely limited to the tropical fruit cocktail, the caipirinha. Raimundo explains.
People who have greater purchasing power in Brazil don't think drinking cachaça is a noble or a posh thing to drink. Cachaça is consumed by people from classes Z to AAA. It's the same product and name for the same drink. But the thing is, along this route of production, the products themselves change significantly.
In Salvador, a new group of tastemakers are slowly changing these muddied perceptions of the national drink. Kennedy Nascimento, who is a Brazilian world champion when it comes to drink mixing, has been invited to host regular masterclasses on how to perfect cachaça-based cocktails. From a stunning bar at the New Fazana Hotel in the heart of Salvador city centre, he replaces the gin, in a traditional gin and tonic, with a simple shot of high-end amarella or yellow cachaça, adding a slice of Sicilian lemon and twist of peel with loads of ice in a highball glass. It's delicious, and I'll admit, I'm not much of a G&T fan. The second option Kennedy presents is the old-fashioned jabo gigalo, that literally translates as cocktail. A bit like a Negroni, he uses vermouth and the Italian bitter Sinar, replacing gin with cachaça, topped off with orange peel. Cachaça, Kennedy says, has great potential for mixology, mainly due to the diversity of woods that can be used to age it. Amburana, for example, makes cachaça sweeter, with strong wood flavours, perfect when mixing with fruits, such as strawberry or jabuticaba berries native to Brazil, or sweeter liquors like Disaronno. Above the bar, a row of antique sugarcane funnels at the Fazano have been hung to make a set of impressive lampshades. Brazil's long history with cachaça here is clear, and what this new generation makes of its future is looking brighter. For Monocle, in Salvador, I'm Lucinda Elliott.
This has been episode number 145 of Food Neighbourhoods. Thanks to Lucinda for today's cachaça tasting tour. For more food and drink stories, tune into the menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Markus Hippi. Thanks for listening and bye for now.